probably I needed to give it time to process it and to allow it, you know, to go through my systems and to really minister to me. But as I do so, I know that as I minister to us, I know the Lord is ministering to me as well. Amen. Hallelujah. It is a good thing to say amen in the church. Amen. Because we quite often do not say that, you know, everywhere we go. So when you come to church, feel at liberty to say amen here and there. And, you know, there are angels all around us. Amen. And I know even though you may not hear them, they are saying amen. And they are appreciating even as we are dancing before the Lord. Amen. So it's a good thing to say amen once in a while. Amen. You encourage the preacher who is bringing the word of the Lord. Amen. 1 Kings chapter number 19, and I'll read that whole 18 verses. It's a long text, but I believe it's going to be okay. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings 19, and I believe we all have your Bible. We all have our Bibles, so you can open up there if you don't have an opportunity. If you didn't bring your Bible, our sister Lorraine is going to do a favor, and she's going to throw those scriptures on the screen, and this is going to be a wonderful one. Now, chapter 19, verse number 1, and I'll read. Now, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it forever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that one, like that of one of them." And Elijah, verse number 3, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he may die. "I have heard enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no longer better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. Verse number 7. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night. And I'll continue reading. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one, and now they are trying to kill me too." Then the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king of Israel, and anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat from Abel Mehola, to succeed you as a prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escapes the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escapes the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. Praise the Lord. Now, this text is a long one, but it is a blessed text. Praise the Lord. Now, the reason why I told you I didn't really, wasn't sure whether to bring this scripture and share it, but instead the Lord still, compelled me to bring and share it, because I'm still processing it. Because when I read this scripture, it stood as a mirror in my life. And I saw the many instances in my, during the course of my ministry, as a pastor and serving in different capacities in the church, where I felt the same as Elisha, where I felt like I've had enough and I don't want to go to church, I don't want to do ministry, and I just want to, just resign and do what I want to do. I can do business, and I don't want to deal with the church folks. I don't want to do the work of the ministry because it is so demanding, And as I read it, I was looking at it. It was like I was looking into this word as I was looking into the mirror, and I was seeing the many times I was discouraged. Now I was looking the many times I've worked for the Lord and tirelessly even spent time in prayer, but many times also when I was discouraged and I felt like it is not worth it all. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, whether during the course of ministry you felt like you've had enough and you didn't feel like praising God, you didn't feel like serving Him, and you felt like, this responsibility of the ministry was delegated or was supposed to be done by other people. But let me tell you, church, that we all fit in the larger tapestry of God's system. Amen. You are a child of God. I want you to say, "I'm a child of God," if you were born again. Say, "I'm a child of God." And regardless of how you feel, regardless of the function that you have in the body, your function is so significant in God. Amen? And I just want to reiterate the point that Pastor Julius was preaching here last Sunday. Who are you? Amen? The moment we understand who we are in the Lord, it doesn't matter how insignificant the role that we have been assigned to do. It doesn't matter how insignificant it might appear to our eyes. But in heaven, the role that each one has been given is so essential that the kingdom cannot function without what God has called you to do. Hallelujah. There's some in the body of Christ, and now I'm talking about the larger body. I'm not talking about Empowerment Christian Center, but I'm talking about the larger body. There are some that have been called to be encouragers. There are some that has been called even to sweep the church. There are some that has been called to be prophets. Some has been called to be teachers. Others have been called. Every single one of us, every single one of us has been called to perform something in the body of Christ. And as I told you, we all fit. The Lord in heaven, while He looks at the body, He sees each and every part and its function in the larger tapestry of the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And sometimes, sometimes when we look at ourselves, like we were, a Bible study, we were looking at Gideon, the man of God, when the children of Israel were attacked by the Midianites. And they had deserted the Lord and they had disobeyed the Lord. And the Lord caused the Midianites to come against the children of Israel. And when the angel comes to visit this Israeli guy, his name was Gideon. He was threshing wheat on, you know, hidden in the side, you know, from the side of the Midianites. And when the angel comes to Gideon and he reveals himself to him, he says, "You wake up, you mighty man of valor." Yes. Gideon looks at him and he says, "Excuse me, did I hear what you said?" The angel looked at him, and when he saw Gideon, he saw him as a mighty man of valor. But that's not how Gideon looked at himself. Are you listening to me? That's not how he looked at him. And I remember the words that as we were sharing in the Bible study, one of us told us that we are not defined by who we think we are, but we are defined by what God says we are. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord says that we are a royal priesthood. We are more than conquerors. You may not see yourself today because of circumstances and situations that revolve around you. Amen? Everything about you might be going south. Everything about the way you look at things might not be making sense. You might be placed in a place between a hard place and a hard rock. But that, when God looks at you, He sees you as a woman of valor. He sees you as a man of strength. Amen? And the angel shows up to Gideon and he tells him, "Rise up, you man of valor, and I have sent you and I have strengthened you to go and fight for the nation of Israel." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's probably in the body of Christ so many things not being done or not being performed, not because you don't have what it takes, but because you've looked down into who God says you are. Or just because you have neglected the point of what God says you are. Because if God can open up our eyes and see who we are, we would know the significance and we will arise to the occasion and do that which we have been called to do. You know, in God, there is no role that is simple. You know, through God, there is no role that is insignificant. Amen? God may have called you just to pick up a phone and encourage somebody. To God, that is divine connection. To someone that you are calling, to someone that is under distress, to someone that is perplexed and distressed by the wilds of this life. Amen? And God expects us to be those people that He has called so that we can walk with Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now the Bible talks about Elijah. And the Bible says that Elijah was just like us. And just a few days prior to this story, Elijah is used so mightily to destroy 400 prophets of Baal in Mount Carmel. You remember the story. And you remember how he was petitioning. And you know, first of all, he told, "You know what? I want you to know that there's a God in heaven. And I want Him to come and display His majesty. And I want Him to come and display His power." And Elijah was a man full of faith. He was a man full of the anointing and a man full of God. He was a prophet of God. And he is arguing, talking with these prophets, and he is telling them, "Call upon the name of your God. Let it come and do whatever my God is going to come here. Let it come and call upon Him. He might be asleep, you know." And he's going back and forth. And at the end of the day, Elijah has so much faith and he's calling upon the name of his God. Amen? And God comes and displays His glory in one of the greatest recorded glorious, miraculous experiences we have in the Bible, where God came and destroyed the entire 400 prophets of Baal, licked them with fire, licked up everything that was prepared for the sacrifice, and people feared the Lord at that very moment. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 And Elijah is full of God. And now it brings us to this story in chapter number 19, and that everybody was filled with awe. And let me tell you, Ahab was so mad. And he comes, and as we read in the story, comes and talks to Jezebel and tells Jezebel about what Elijah and how his God had done to the 400 prophets of Baal. And Jezebel sends a messenger, as we saw, to Elijah. And he tells him, and she is so angry and she is so mad. And she tells Elijah, you know, why did you do this thing? And let your gods deal with me more severely if by this time tomorrow I'll have done what you did to one of those prophets. And look what happens. The man who is filled with God, the man who is full of faith, the man who had seen the experience that God performed at Mount Carmel, he takes off and he flees for his life. He is scared about what is just about to happen. It is as if when you read the story, you would even wonder, was he pretending? Was he pretending before, or what has just happened? Only to realize that Elijah is like many of us. That when we serve God, sometimes when we serve God with our zeal, we serve God with our whole hearts, and when suddenly a problem arises, we feel like, you know, I've had it enough, I am fleeing for my life, I don't even know whether this God is near me, I don't even know whether he is going to save me. Hallelujah. And we find that he flees, he actually ran. He runs to a place that he doesn't know, through the wilderness. And he goes, as we saw in the story, he runs into a town and he leaves his servant there and he proceeds on. And he comes up to a bush tree. In some translations it says he came to a tree that was a juniper tree and he lay down there. See, the most interesting thing about this story is that no matter how you run, no matter how we can run from responsibility, no matter how we can feel like God is not with us, God will continuously pursue us. Amen? He is never going to leave us no matter how we go. Amen? And that is an encouraging point, that no matter how we feel, like enough is enough. Let me tell you, some instances in my life, I came and told my wife, you know what? I'm just done. I don't want to do this ministry. And the Lord came through my wife, and she encouraged me to tell me, no, you have to push on. You have to keep on doing this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Or I have even told some of my best friends, I feel like I want to quit. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this day in, day out, dealing with people's problems. But God spoke to me through my friends. God spoke to me through his word. Praise the Lord. The fact is, God will never cease to pursue you no matter where you go. Amen. It doesn't matter whether you're going to find yourself in the wilderness. It doesn't matter whether you're going to find yourself in a cave. God will find you in a cave because he is not done with you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to Jesus. And so the angel of the Lord comes and he taps Elijah, as we read. And, you know, the first thing that he does to Elijah is not even argue with him why he ran, you know, from Jezebel and Ahab. But the first thing that he does to Elijah is provide for him. See how good God is. He provides for him. He knows that Elijah is hungry. And he gives him bread and gives him water. And it's like, that is what Elijah needed at that particular moment. In his discouragement, in his distress, in his feeling like, I don't want to do this anymore. He needed some food. He needed to nourish his body. The Bible says immediately Elisha went back to sleep. And the second time he came and tapped him. Oh, come on. He told him, wake up. Hallelujah. And when he woke up again, it's like Elijah was not even full. You know, he wasn't, the food was not enough the first time. And again he gave him some food. Amen. And he gave him some food again. Provide. He doesn't even argue with him. He doesn't even tell him, Elijah, why did you desert responsibilities? This is the kind of God that we serve, church. This is the kind of God that we serve. Even when you feel that I've had enough and you're running away from what God has told you to do, that God will never cease to pursue you. He pursues you even where you go. And he'll tell you, son, I care for you so much. And when I look at the larger tapestry, I see your role and I see your function and I see your responsibility. And I have no other under heaven who can do what I have commissioned you to do. Glory to Jesus. When I look into the entire planet, I have designed you in your own uniqueness. I have placed you in a unique place. Everything about your personality is unique. And when I look at the responsibility that ought to be done in this place, there's no one else that I see. I only see you. Therefore, child, go back. Hallelujah. Because I have designed you to do the role that I've placed in your life. I designed you in a specific way. No other person in the entire world looks like you. And therefore, everything about your personality, everything about the way I created you, everything that I made you is designed to do that perfect assignment that I've placed on the body of Christ. Amen. If God has called you to be a hand, you forever be a hand. If God has called you to be a worshiper, God will always design you to be a worshiper. There is a role for each and every one of us. Praise be to God. And so the angel comes, taps Elisha the second time, and he tells him, wake up and eat, for you are just about to partake on a long journey. And what mesmerizes me about this is Elijah is still running away and the angel doesn't tap him to give him food to tell him, go back to Ahab and Jezreel. And he told him, I see in your heart that you're just in the mood of running away. And he tells me, and he tells him that this food that I've given you will sustain you for 40 days and 40 nights. Remember the story of the Israelites, that they were in the desert for 40 years. Elijah was there each and every day, represented the 40, each represented the 40 years that the children of Israel were in the wilderness. And God was trying to prepare them, because even as they journeyed into Canaan, praise God, he wanted them not to assume the livelihood of Canaan. God wanted the children of Israel to go and replace the livelihood of Canaan and assume godliness in Canaan. He wanted them to go and replace the livelihood and their worship and their idolatry in Canaan. Hallelujah. And so he wanted to prepare their hearts for 40 years. It is a journey. When you read the Bible, it was a short journey between Egypt and Canaan. It would only take 13 days, but it took 40 years for them to sojourn into the promised land. And so Elisha wakes up with the strength of the Lord, because I believe that was the strength of the Lord. And the Lord leads him into his mountain. Hallelujah. Every time you're running away, you never know who you're going to stumble into, because God is leading you into his presence, and he is going to bring your mind into realizing and knowing that he has called you with a high calling, and that you cannot run away from the Lord. He led Elijah into the presence of the Lord, and he called him into his holy mountain. And the Bible says that he ran into a cave, and when he ran there into a cave, the Lord came and asked him, and ask Elijah, what are you doing in this place? Hallelujah. And I feel the Spirit of the Lord is asking us the same question. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I feel that the Spirit of the Lord is asking the same question to some of us. What are you doing in this place? You may have been called into the ministry to do whatever God has called you to do, but at some point you felt like, you know what? This thing doesn't make sense. Just as Elijah, it wasn't making any sense. The Bible says, he expresses and he says, I've had enough. These people want to kill me. Serve the Lord so diligently. I've been zealous for the Lord. And it seems like nothing is making any sense. And he's running away. And the Lord leads him into Mount Horeb. And the Lord comes and taps him and says, wake up. What are you doing in this place? Now, notice the answer that Elisha replies to the Lord. Now, do you want to tell me that the Lord didn't know what Elisha was doing? Do you want to tell me that the Lord didn't understand why Elisha had ran away from Jezebel and Ahab? The Lord knew about it, right? Because He is Almighty God. Amen. Huh? Now, this is, listen to what how he replies. He says, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, and put all your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Every time there's going to be some kind of justification. Now, if you read towards the end of the chapter when we saw, the Lord said that I will preserve 7,000 Israelites people. Amen? So it is still, it meant that there were still people in Israel who are not bowing to Baal and who are not kissing Baal. Praise the Lord. He says, I am sending you back. Amen? To go and announce Hazael. To go and announce Jehu. To go and announce and anoint Elisha. And I am going to preserve 7,000 people. And here Elisha says, I'm the only prophet, kind of like, I'm the only righteous person left here, and they want to kill me. There's always going to be that justification thing. You know what? I've served you, Lord. This thing doesn't make any sense. You know, we are going to get into that kind of a saying of this thing doesn't make sense. You know, the people don't want to worship you. You know, the people don't want to come to church. The people don't want to give and support your ministry. The people don't even want to cooperate with me. Every time I do this, they do the other thing. There's always going to be justification and things that we talk to the Lord about. But the Lord spoke to Elisha. Hallelujah. And he asked him a question. What are you doing here? In other words, the Lord looked at Elisha. He said, you are my prophet. I have anointed you. Yes, amen. I have anointed you. I've not done with you. Remember when he went, the first time he landed into the juniper tree, he laid down and said, Lord, I think I've done enough. May you kill me. Take up my life, Lord. I'm done in this planet. I'm done. That is what Elisha thought. Amen. But as far as God was concerned, God was not done with Elisha. Amen? Throughout Israel, and this is what I told you, that God has delegated a unique responsibility for you. Now, you want to tell me that among the 7,000 people who are loyal to God and that never bowed to Baal, that there wasn't one that would be called to go and announce Hazael, Jehu, or even Elisha? Do you want to tell me that there wasn't anyone who was qualified? Because in those days, everybody was bound to Baal, the goddess, you know? And they were paying their allegiance to the gods of that nation. But the Lord says there are 7,000 people that I will preserve. God would have raised someone among us, the 7,000. But he pursued Elisha while he was on the run, and he told him, go back and anoint Hazael. Why? Because God is so specific in the way he assigns his assignments. Amen? Let me tell you, the body of Christ could be dysfunctional today. Not because you don't have what it takes to do what God has called us to do. But it is dysfunctional because we have ran away. And every time there's that question that is asking us, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Amen? And let me tell you, you may not have literally picked up your bags, physically ran, but you could have ran away emotionally. You may have left spiritually and said, you know what? I'll just be showing up there, you know, just for them to know that I'm there. I'll just be showing up in fellowships. But emotionally, spiritually, you are not even there. Amen? And God is asking you, what are you doing here? Praise the Lord. And I'm asking myself, what am I doing here? There's some assignments that God has not done with me. And I told you, as long as you're breathing and as long as you're kicking, God has a something that he wants accomplished on this planet. Praise be to God. Amen. And Elisha runs, and the Lord told him, wake up. I want you to go back and go back through the desert of Damascus. And this is the assignment that I want you to take. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And as I was running through this scripture, I also realized that in the body, You know, there's sometimes when we are...
Want drumsticks just $5 a pair. Or the perfect gift. Guitar Center gift card. The Father's Day sale.
There are sometimes also, even as Christians, there are many forms of living. Amen? There are many forms of... Remember, first of all, before I say this, what in the Old Testament we used to have salt. Amen? We used to have salt. What is the purpose of salt? It is seasoning. It is preservation, right? What is the place of the salt? The place of the salt is to preserve any meat that might be going bad. Amen? So sometimes we feel, you know, Elijah felt like the world was too much for him. Amen? Yesterday I was trying to pull some weeds, you know, from my front place where we, you know, Catherine put some flowers, and I realized some grass, you know, was just growing among us, the beautiful flowers. And so if you came there, you'd see weeds and you'd see flowers. And I thought, this is a very unsightly scene, you know. So I went, started, you know, digging and removing all the weeds. Remember what Jesus said? That the kingdom of God is like seeds that are thrown somewhere, and they will grow with the real seeds and tires together. Amen? So there's no way we can separate ourselves from the world. Are you listening to me? The world shall continue to be hostile to us, but we shall not take off just because the world is hostile to us. Amen? The purpose of the salt is to rub on the meat that is just going bad to preserve it. The Bible says that you are the salt of the... You're the salt of the earth. And so the intention, God's intention, is that we may rub on the systems of this world. When we see things going wrong, we are not going to take off. We are not going to run away, because God has brought us in this world at such time as this so that we can rub into the corrupt systems of this world. Amen? That is the reason, one of the reasons the Lord has called us in the world. We cannot run away from the social systems, the breaking down systems of this planet. There is a homosexuality that is taking place in this country. Oh my goodness. And you know, the other day I went into a restaurant. You know, the other day I went with Flavia. And this guy comes dressed like a girl. She had lipsticks and nails and everything. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, okay. Here we go. And let me tell you, we are not supposed to hate them, but we are supposed to hate the activity or what they do. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you, when I looked at him, there is no way or any chance that can come, literally it could be very remote, that somebody can come and transform what I believe into making me a homosexual person. Okay, I'll say it again. I know you're... Why? I'm saying this because we have a strong foundation in the Lord. You know, the 30-somethings or anybody who is over 30, we have been grounded and we know who the Lord is. But this movement is targeted to our children. Are you listening to me? If we do not take any responsibility to train up our kids in the ways of the Lord, what they are going to be seeing is these people... And they are going to be exposed, and it is going to be feeding their subconsciousness to tell them that this is okay kind of life. So we have the responsibility to teach our children. Let me tell you, any movement that is designed from the kingdom of hell is not targeted to the parents. It is targeted to the children. Say amen if you believe what I'm saying. It is targeted to our children. And so we don't... Now, look what happened to Florida. I read through the ages of the people. And by the way, let me tell you, we need to pray for the victims of those. It is a tragic thing to lose your child. It doesn't matter what orientation they are in. It doesn't matter. We need to pray for them. Praise the Lord. But when I went through the list of every person who was killed in Florida, they were in the ages of like 20 to 25. I didn't see anybody over 30. You see, they're children. It is a movement that has been designed. There are going to be evil movements that are designed to destroy this generation. Soon and very soon, some of us will be checking out of here. Amen? We are not going to live 100 years. But trust me, these children you see here, they're going to outlive us. And what are they going to believe if we don't train them in the ways of the Lord? Are you listening to me? So we have, man, let me tell you, I felt such a great responsibility to always tell my children and to tell them about the word and to teach them and to tell them this is what, this is the way you ought to go. I cannot any longer trust our schools to train my children in the ways of the Lord. They are not going to do it. I was having lunch with somebody and he told me that in California, there's a registration that's right now on the table that they said, if you want your children to be taught Christianity, we also have to allow Satanism to be taught to our children so that they can have an informed decision as they choose who to follow. All these things are not even reported on CNN. They are just done underground. And let me tell you, as one state goes, the other states also follow. There was a movement about bathroom issues with the transgender and homosexuality that started in North Carolina. Before, 2 days are not even lapsed. It just came to our doorstep city here in Fort Worth. And they were talking about it. You know? And now every state is almost trying to say, oh, we need to have a 3 restrooms or for whatever, how many restrooms so that it can be admitted. Anyway, we need to be sensitive about what is happening. Praise the Lord. And so I was just saying that we cannot disconnect ourselves from the world. God has called us to be the salt of the world. Amen? See, have you ever seen that picture of a light that is put somewhere and it is put up, a light is put up here and it illuminates all around its environment? That is how God has called us. He has called us to be the light of the world. What John, as we were praying, Jesus prayed and he said this, I don't pray that you remove them out of the world, that you may stay evil out of them. Praise the Lord. So we are not going to be taken anytime soon out of this world. We are going to stay in it so that we can bring change in it. Praise the Lord. There's no way we can disconnect ourselves from the tears. There's no way we can disconnect ourselves from our systems. We are going to be there, but God has placed us on this planet at such time as this so that we may bring change from inside. Somebody say amen. That is one thing we ought to know. So Elijah runs away from the threat of Jezebel. But God wants him to know at this time when he's at Mount Horeb that I'm the one who showed up and killed the 400 prophets of Baal. I'm the same God who is able to deliver you from the hands of Jezebel. Amen? So go back. Even if it means that they're going to kill you, let them kill you while serving me. Praise the Lord. Am I speaking to somebody this afternoon? Hallelujah. There's another thing where we can run away from the world. And one of the ways is where we run away from the world is whereby we really, really band together as Christians, which is a good thing. And we assume that there's nothing, or we kind of shelter ourselves from everything that happens around us. God has a reason for bringing us on this planet to even witness and tell others about the Lord. Amen? But there's a way we can band together as Christians. We are so excited about our faith, which is good, and we are so excited about our movement, about our religion, about Christ, and that is so good, and kind of shelters ourselves, or kind of we build a wall so that there's no one who can infiltrate that wall to come and know what is happening within the camp. That is another kind of running away. And God is asking us also in this question, where are you? Praise the Lord. And God is telling us to go back in the sense of open up your doors. Amen? We would like to invite any kind of a person in this church. I don't care how they believe. I don't care whether they'll believe in God, whether they don't believe in God. I don't even care about their agenda. I want them to come in so that they can hear the love of God. Amen. See, in Florida, there was somebody, I heard this, I think we were here in prayer, and somebody said, I think one of the pastors said, oh, you know what? Those people in Florida died at the right place. It was punishment to them. And I felt, how can a man of God say that, surely? You know? How about saying, I wish they came into church so that they would know what it is true and how it is. How God really loves them. God has called us to be compassionate. Amen. We have been called to be the ambassadors of Christ. Hallelujah. We are going to meet with people who don't have, who don't share our belief systems. Are we gonna just declare ourselves, oh, you know what? As long as he doesn't share my belief system, I'm just not going to do anything. I have nothing to do with him. But I'm going to continue to show them love. Per chance and per adventure, that they are going to be interested in the Christ who lives in me. Are we talking now, church? Amen? God has called me to be an ambassador. He's an ambassador here on this planet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I'm just about to conclude. And as I conclude, I want to ask you this question. Where are you? And I feel like the Lord would be calling you out of the place where you are. There's another calling also that the Lord will be calling us. There's a story that I read here about young Spurgeon, and I'll read it to you. And then I will relate the story with a scripture that I read as well. In this story, this is what it says. Mr. Spurgeon, when he was a child, there's a story that is told about him. And Mr. Spurgeon was living with his grandfather. And the grandfather was a pastor of a little country church. And there was a very prominent member of that church who was in the habit of going into the pub. You know, the pub, you know, where they would drink, and they would drink with other people. And the small boy, having, studied the word of the Lord in the church and committed to the church, one time stepped into the pub, and he found this man who was a prominent member of the church with this inconsistent, with him sitting in there. And young Spurgeon walked up to him and he said, "What are you doing here?" Just as a question that was posed to Elisha. And this was the turning point to this man. He realized that he was not supposed to be in the camp where he was. He was hanging around. Even though he is in the world, he had accepted the world and he was living with the world. And the Lord was asking him, the young boy came and asked him, "What are you doing here?" I heard a story some time back of a pastor who used to preach the word of God so vehemently on Sunday, and he would sneak in and go into a pub place, and but that was back in Kenya, and he was drinking with other people. But there were some people who were in the bar who knew that he was a pastor, and they had seen him frequent that pub, and he was secretly, I understand, that he would ask for beer and he would put it in a glass. And one time the people who were going there, they were drunk, and they realized this pastor was not doing or was in the wrong place. And so they agreed to gather together, and they held the pastor and they beat him. And they told him, "You go, this is not your place. We are the ones who are supposed to be here." And cut a long story short, the pastor went home crying, and he never went back to that pub. That is another way we can actually go into the camp of the enemy and find our place in there, and we agree with them. There's a story, as I conclude, there's a story that I read from the book of 1 Samuel 29 about, this is a time when, remember when David was running away from the Philistines, from Saul, and he went into the Philistine camp. Now he dwelt there under King Achish for 1 year. And the Bible says that David was very loyal to Achish. Remember, he was running away from Saul because Saul was chasing him. But he had nowhere to run. So he found refuge in their enemy's camp. He went there and dwelt with them. And he stayed there, and he was loyal to King Achish. And so as they continued, they realized that David was a man of war. And so what did he do? They enrolled him. Think about this. They enrolled him in the Palestinian army. And a time came 1 year later where they were supposed to go and attack the nation of Israel. And so the Bible says that David and his loyal men, because when he ran away from Saul, he ran away with his servants. They fell behind the brigade of the Palestinians. They fell behind. They were a troop, but they just fell behind, following with the Palestinians, going to attack their brothers. And so, when the commanders of the Philistines looked back, they saw these people are Hebrews. And so they asked Achish. They asked King Achish, and they told him, "And so, what are these Hebrews doing here? Okay? What are these Hebrews doing with us? I can see them with weapons of war, and I know we are surging and marching towards the camp of the Israelites, wanting to dismantle and kill them. But what are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish, the king of the Philistines, told the commanders that this boy ran away from his camp because he was being persecuted by Saul. And he has been very loyal and very faithful. And nothing, I mean, he has done nothing that would warrant for me not to put him in my army. And so the commanders told them, "Can you tell them to go back? We don't need them." You know? They might actually, because this is what this is what might happen. We might get when the war rages and they turn against us and they begin to slay us so that they may gain favor before Saul. And so the commanders told them, "Can you chase them? Tell them we don't need them here as a part of the army." See, this is exactly what happens. The world knows who we are. Amen? And the world hates when we are doing the things that we are not supposed to do. They will actually know that we are in the wrong place. Relate the pastor's story. Yeah? When these guys came together and beat the pastor until he ran home on foot because he was not supposed to be where he was supposed to be. Relate the story of Spurgeon and this prominent member of the church. And this is what God is also telling us. What are you doing here? Amen? And I read a story by one of those. I was reading this story. And there are two questions that you need to ask yourselves. Whatever you are doing, if you might find yourself in the camp of the enemy. Remember, these are two almost antagonizing questions that we are asking ourselves. That God has called us to be in the world, but we can be in the world, but not, and still not be off the world. Are you listening to me? In other words, we are called to be people who affect our environment, even though we live among people who may not believe with what we believe. But the story that we are talking about is people who are in the world. They have assimilated themselves to the patterns of what the world does. And there's almost no telling whether these are believers or not. These are the people now we are telling. And God is saying, "What are you doing here?" Amen? And there are two questions that were posed. If you really don't know what you're doing, or you're in a position and you do not understand what you're doing, we need to ask ourselves two questions. Whatever you might be involved in the world, you need to ask yourself, can I really pray to God that and ask the Lord this? Lord, bless what I'm doing. If you cannot say that, no, then that is not the right thing the thing that you're doing or involved in is not right. If you cannot kneel down and tell God, "Oh God, may you bless this drinking, bless this relationship that I'm in right now." If you cannot say that, then you need to run. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then the other question you are going to ask yourself is, does this help my faith? If whatever you might be involved in, whatever you might be doing does not help your faith, then you need to run. You need to hear the voice of the Lord that is telling you, what are you doing in this place? Amen? What are you doing in this place? Hallelujah. My prayer, even as we conclude, is that we shall be the light of the world. My prayer, as we conclude, is that we shall be the salt of the earth. That is the place that God has called us to be, that we may rub ourselves into the rotting systems of this world, that we may rub ourselves against its injustices that are happening in our country, that we may rub ourselves against things that are anti-God, that we may rub ourselves against things that will bring, so that we can bring healing into our environment. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us stand on our feet in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I don't need it.
Hallelujah.
God, take everything. I don't want it. I don't need it. God, just want you. Just want you. We just want you. We just want you. Oh, take everything. I don't want it. I don't need it. God, take everything. I don't want it. I don't need it. God, I just want you. We just want you. We just want you.
Thank you, Lord.
We just want you. We just want you. We just want you. We just want you.
Just want you, Lord.
We just want you.
Thank you, Lord.
Take everything. Take everything. I don't want it. I don't need it. God, take everything. I don't want it. I don't need it. God, I just want you.
Yes, Lord.
I just want you. I just want you.
Yes, while in that mood of prayer.
I just want you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We just want you.
We just want you, Lord. Just being in that mood of prayer. And silently.
We just want.
Do you hear that question that is asking you, what are you doing here? And if you respond to that question, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to go back? Because the Lord is telling you, go back. Go back. Go back to the things that you used to do. Go back to the things that I've called you to do. Go back to prayer. Go back to reading the word. Go back to serving me unreservedly. Go back to trusting me again. Go back to growing in the Lord. Do you hear that question? And the Holy Spirit is showing you and telling you, this is the way you ought to go back. This is the way you will need to go back. This is the point where you started deviating and going your own way. And I hear the voice of the Spirit is saying, this is the way you ought to go back. See, the thing about God, God is still so merciful. He will never leave you. It doesn't matter how much you have digressed. He is still telling you, what are you doing here? And the reason he is asking you that question is not because, you know, he hates you. It's not because that he is not interested with you. It's not because you did a bad thing. But it's because he is interested in using you. He is interested in the work that you do in the ministry. He is interested in you accomplishing your goals and doing everything that he has called you to do. And the Spirit of God is telling you, go back. This is the way you ought to go. This is the way you ought to go. Come on, everywhere. He is telling you, this is the way you ought to go. This is the way you ought to go. Some of us have dissected and ran from the crossroads, you know, and yeah, we still can see you, but emotionally you may have left. Spiritually you may have even left, but I hear the voice of the Spirit telling us, go back, go back. I need you there. I need you there. I cannot do this thing without you. I cannot accomplish these things. I will use you. I will strengthen you. Go back. I hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking to some of us. Go back. And all we have to do is do like Elijah did. Obey. He went back. He went back. He went back. He went back. And I know we are coming out. And we are going back. And I'm personally, I'm going back. I'm going back. I'm going back. I'm going back in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm going back. I choose to go back. I choose to go back, Lord. I choose to go back. You have sustained me. You have strengthened me. Give me food to eat, Lord. You have sustained me these 40 days. And you're telling me, go back. I'm going back, Lord. I'm going back. Hey, come on, tell him. I'm going back. I'm going back. I'm going back. I'm going back to do that which you called me to do. I'm going back to the crossroad where I left. I'm going back to the people that I left. I'm going back to the assignment that you called me to do. I'm going back. I'm going back. Nothing is going to hold me back. Satan, you can't hold me back. You can't position me in this cave. I'm going back right now. Going back to the call of ministry. Going back to the things that God has called me to do. Going back to the assignments that He has called me to do. I'm going back right now. Going back. I'm going back. We are going back as a church. We are going back as a family. We are going back as children. We are going back as a husband. I'm going back as a wife. I'm going back. I'm going back. In the name of Jesus. We are going back. We are going back. There's still some assignments to do. There's still some responsibilities to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, even as we have decreed this word, Lord, I pray it shall be so that we are going back, Lord, even to the place of assignment. We are going back to the place of our high calling in the name of Jesus, where we can serve you, Lord, with the whole of our hearts, where we can serve you unreservedly in the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. And I speak a blessing over these children, O Lord. Father God, I pray that even as they go back, you shall refresh them with memories of how you used to do great things through them in the name of Jesus. How they used to pick up a phone and encourage somebody. How they used to go to fellowships and their presence brought a different aura in the name of Jesus. Cause them, cause us to go back in the name of Jesus. Lord, may you minister to this congregation. We are looking and waiting upon you to the glory and honor of your name. And we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Somebody who loves him, shout a big amen. Amen. And I'm going to call Pastor Julius to come.